It's Friday, March 17th, 2006. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Manhattan, Kansas. Well, welcome to my second spring break podcast. This time I had an opportunity to interview Dr. Mike Ribble, who is at the College of Education at Kansas State University. And Mike just finished his dissertation on the topic of digital citizenship. And one of the things that I'm most impressed with as far as digital citizenship and Mike's take on it is how he really sees it as a conversation and a dialogue that we need to be having in schools today between students and also, of course, between adults and adults and students. He has 9 different categories for digital citizenship and the skills that are included, and really thinks that today in the 21st century, just like we've taught students about the rights and responsibilities of being a U.S. citizen, we need to teach them about the rights and responsibilities that go with being a digital citizen. And so I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I would encourage you to check out the show notes where I'll have links to the website that Mike has created and is updating. And as he mentions in the podcast, his actual dissertation or handbook on digital citizenship is scheduled to be published by ISTE, the International Society for Technology Education, here in a few months. And so we'll look forward to that. And basically, it provides a robust curriculum that teachers can utilize with their students, as well as with parents and anyone else who's interested in these topics of digital citizenship, to learn more and to engage in the dialogue. Well, I'm here with Mike Ribble, and we're at the College of Education at Kansas State University. I almost said Texas Tech.
Yep.
And Mike has recently defended his dissertation on the topic of digital citizenship. And Mike, if you just tell us a little bit about, I guess, first off, what are you doing here in the college, and then maybe follow up with how you were drawn to this topic of digital citizenship.
Okay. Wes, I'd like to talk a little bit about my background. I mean, my background is in secondary education, and I've also worked as an assistant principal, so I've seen sort of both sides of it. But what kind of drew me into digital citizenship was the whole concept of what schools are doing with technology out in the field, and how it's being viewed as a tool, and how they can better use that tool. And so, you know, I really, when I first heard about the concept of digital citizenship, it was more of, you know, how are we supposed to use it? But then I wanted to take it to the next level and start to break it down so that schools could really use it. And I came up with 9 basically theme or element areas so that technology leaders or educational leaders could start to see what are some of the hot points that we need to be dealing with when we talk about technology. And so when we talk about it, you know, we break it down into communication and etiquette and health and wellness and safety and security and all those different aspects, so that, you know, there's so much that's out there that they really needed some sort of base to really begin. And it's not that they're going to deal with all of these aspects all at one time, but at least it gives them a starting point, a place to really get to focus on where all these things come into play.
Well, and I guess one of the things that drew me to your approach and study is it's a lot more than safety. Internet safety is an element of that. And I think, you know, obviously the articles about social networking sites like MySpace and Zanger getting attention. And so there's some awareness on the part of parents and educators about internet safety. But, you know, before we started, you mentioned that acceptable use policies tend to be thou shalt not sort of statements.
Sure.
How does your approach to digital citizenship go beyond just the thou shalt not?
Well, in being an assistant principal, I know that you have to have policies. There's no way around it. But my whole concept of digital citizenship is that you're going to teach them about concepts and how to use the technology appropriately. You're not going to get away from having a thou shall not piece in there, but they need to have something to base that off of, so that they have, where can we start from? Where is the my basis of knowledge as far as everybody should know X, and that's where we start with technology learning. And then we can start saying with our acceptable use policies or whatever, if you want to call them digital citizenship policies or whatever, we refer back to the digital citizenship and say, what is really appropriate? You know, how should I really be thinking about this? This last month's article that we just put out that Dr. Bailey, my major professor, and I did for ISTE's magazine, the L&L magazine, we walked through sort of a process of how people should learn about the technology first and then process how they're supposed to use it, and then even reflect about how they use the technology. And that's really our concept of digital citizenship. It's not just give me a bunch of rules. It's really processing of how we're supposed to be doing things. And to me, it goes back to the whole old concept of citizenship within a country, is how am I supposed to act as a citizen of a country? How should I, you know, I have certain rights in this country, but I also have certain responsibilities on the flip side. So it's sort of that whole yin and yang piece of that, so that when we look at it, it's not just what am I going to get out of it, but what am I also going to give back? And so that's my hope with digital citizenship, is that we can start teaching people that it's not just give me the technology, but also what can I give back as far as its use in the school, in my business, in my community, all of these different aspects. And I don't think we've taught that yet. We really haven't got to that point. You know, we've just kind of been gathering technology, and we haven't done anything. And I usually use the example when I go out and do presentations talking about cell phones. Usually when you go into a place to get a cell phone, they don't tell you how you're supposed to use it or not use it. They just give it to you and say, go forth and spend your minutes however you want to.
Right.
And so, you know, that to me is the whole aspect, is we haven't really learned what is really appropriate when we get these things. And I think that's where we need to start.
Well, you know, some people have a perception of kids as these digital natives as being ahead of the adults and knowing the technology. But I think implicit in your whole idea of digital citizenship is this idea that kids don't know all the rules, that they don't that they need to be guided in terms of the appropriate use. Is that an accurate
point? Oh, yeah. So I think that we make a lot of assumptions when we talk about kids and technology, that they already know all the rules that there are and how to use it. And you know, when you talk about Prensky's, you know, idea of natives versus immigrants, and, you know, are we really, you know, I know a lot of adults that know a lot about technology, and, you know, they're maybe as native as some kids, and there are some kids that are, you know, way out there as far as knowing what they should be doing, and they don't have a lot of role models to help them. So, yeah, getting back to the whole thing with the immigrants versus natives, some of the articles that I've read basically say that we're kind of overselling that the kids already know everything, and that they're so far ahead of where everybody else is, and they're learning these things just as long, you know, as we go through it, and, you know, they need role models just like everybody else needs role models, and technology is one of those areas where you've got to have some background, you've got to have some information, some knowledge.
Well, tell us a little bit about the products that you've created, because you also mentioned earlier that, you know, your dissertation focus was sort of a project focus, and you've created a handbook that I understand will be published by ISTE,
yes.
And you have a website. So talk to us a little bit about those resources, what are in those resources, and then how teachers out there, wherever they might be in the world, could utilize these tools. How would they utilize them?
Sure. A couple of things. Probably the one that's been out there the longest is the website. It's at the College of Education here at K-State. It's at coe.ksu.edu/digital-citizenship, all written out. If you go to that site, it has the main concepts of digital citizenship that you can go to, has all the 9 theme areas or element areas, and I've got articles that relate to all those different areas. Also is on that site also are the articles that we've written for digital citizenship that I've co-authored with my major professor, Dr. Bailey, and you know, we've written some for ISTE, and we've written some for district administrator, THE, different places. So If you want to read those articles, they're all up there and available. But the handbook itself also, as you mentioned, was part of my dissertation. It's kind of an outgrowth of this whole idea, and we're hoping to have that published here by the fall. We're still doing some editing on it, but the plan is to have it out by fall. But the whole idea is to get these tools out to the teachers and tech leaders so that they can take these ideas and really start to run with them as far as getting the technology into the classrooms and how to use that technology. Because some of my the activities, the handbook actually has quite a few activities in it and some full-blown lesson plans that are actually in it that teachers can just take and run with and actually use right away. The handbook will also have a companion website that I've also been working on that will have some of the templates that are also in the handbook, so that you can download those and actually modify them to your own classroom. And there's even some that are some template lesson plans that you can actually take the topic, and I've got some general ideas on it, but then you can run with those at yourself and actually really build your own sort of lesson plans out of them. So the whole idea is really to get the information out, really get people to understand the ideas that are related to it, because like I said, there's just so much, you know, you hear about in the news, you hear it about, you know, on TV, that about all the different aspects. You hear about blogging, and hear about RSS, and you hear about the health and safety aspects of all these things, but there is no one concrete place to go to, and that's really what the handbook and the articles are really there to give, those sort of baseline ideas, so that they can, you can start, you can work from there, and hopefully you can build off of that.
Can you give us a specific example of maybe an activity or a lesson or something that someone would do that would, you know, be catering to one of the specific areas?
Matter of fact, it's one that we did with ISTE. We did what was called a compass activity, which is looking at direction of how you use technology. And I usually show this as one of the starter activities because it really doesn't focus on the nine themes specifically, but it's scenarios that teachers can give to their students, and they can use this compass to kind of look at where do they fall as far as their use and how they see technology being used, and they can kind of point the compass in different ways. And it's to show both the students and the teacher that not everybody comes to the same table with the same idea of how technology should be used. And so that we can start getting into a dialogue as far as, I may think that something may be perfectly appropriate to use the technology where you may not see it as that same way. And of course, always the biggies are things like downloading songs off the internet. You know, a lot of kids, they think because it's available, you know, why isn't it, you know, appropriate? Because I can go up to the internet, download the things. You know, it seems perfectly fine to me. You know, so, you know, and we rationalize a lot of these things, but we really need to get in the dialogue of saying, well, but is this really the most appropriate thing that we should do? And it shows that there's a lot of shades of gray when we use technology, that not everything is right, not everything is wrong, that there's certain aspects of how we have to look at how we're using it.
So that's a good thing to think about as far as scenarios and sort of case-based learning. So we're not just talking about a list of rules that people are going to learn. But we're talking about scenarios and activities and things that people can do in a process of trying to get at these issues, and through that process, you know, walk away with a greater understanding of the issues, but also the options that they have.
Most
and
definitely,
that
yes.
Kind of thing.
I mean, it's a lifelong piece. This isn't you're not going to sit down and read this handbook or read these articles and say, I understand everything there is about technology. It's a thought piece of trying to build on ideas and concepts, so that when you walk away, you can say, well, now when I hear about certain technology things, I can start thinking about it, maybe in a little different vein, a little bit different light as far as how it should be used and what we should be thinking about when we use it.
Well, two more follow-on questions,
sure,
and we'll wrap up. First, kind of what you see coming next for other researchers, and then maybe how you would present this in a real capsule if you were going to, you know, present this to maybe a parent group or administrators, mm-hmm, or you know, a teacher group, as far as trying to get them to do this. But what do you see coming next? If there are folks that are interested in digital citizenship, and maybe from a research standpoint, what could be done with the foundation that you've laid and created so far?
I think there's a lot of things that can be done with this, Wes. I mean, I think we can really take this and take it out to the school districts and say, okay, let's get a baseline and see where we are. You know, what are the issues? What are the hot buttons that are going on in your schools right now? And let's take some of these ideas out of digital citizenship and say, now that we have an idea of where the issues are, let's start focusing on those different aspects and see what we can do to maybe alleviate some of these problems and try to get some communication going on as far as how students are using it versus how the administration sees it done, and get some dialogue going on back and forth so that they can see it and they can also understand, but then also collecting the data from it and taking that to the next level as far as research and actually putting some hard numbers to it and say a certain percentage are using technology in this way, and after use of digital citizenship or understanding digital citizenship, then we can move on and maybe you know, have a better understanding, a better concept of how we should use it.
Are there instruments out there now that I don't know, Pew Internet groups or other things have used that are sort of there that schools can use, or is that something that we really need to see other researchers come in and develop for the
school? I think there are some that are out there. I think Pew does a pretty good job. They work pretty well with schools. I think there's some that with digital citizenship, we probably have to build some of these to actually show how it's actually being accepted or used within a school district. So as far as its use, I think with, you know, we'd have to probably come up with some. But I think there are tools that are out there that are getting some anecdotal information, but I think we'd really have to really dive into it and use some of our own.
But at this point, there's not an instrument out there that, like a web-based tool or something. So there's a lot of opportunity.
It's pretty wide open right now, so I can see that there's a lot of opportunities, really.
Well, if you were to, you know, kind of summarize this, obviously you put tons of hours and thought into all this, and it's always hard to, you know, maybe distill something down, not just to a quick soundbite, but,
sure,
you know, it's something that I think needs to be sold, I guess, if you want to use that terminology,
yeah,
to educators who are very burdened with testing and with all of the pressures. You know, it's just, okay, do we have time for something else? No, we don't. But yet, we live in this digital culture where the kids are immersed in it. I mean, you were talking about your son instant messaging. I mean, you know, my kids are on laptops. The kids are involved in the technology.
Sure.
They may not be doing that at school, sure, but they're involved and they need this skill set. So how do you think this should be cast as a need and as something that needs to be included in schools and not just, I guess, just making an assumption that, oh, they're going to learn that, you,
mm-hmm,
know, that they're going to pick that,
oh,
up.
Yeah.
So how do you pitch that, let's say, to a group of administrators or to an individual teacher?
Well, I go back is to ask, what is our role as educators? I mean, what are we trying to do as educators? And to me, my whole goal, especially as a secondary educator, was to prepare students to go out into the world. And if we're going to do this and put them out into a digital world, how better to prepare them for that than to give them those skill sets so that they can be productive members out in a digital society? And, you know, if that's our goal, then we have to prepare them for that kind of life. And if we're going to say that about, you know, and we're just going to say that they're going to do this on their own, then what's to say that they couldn't go out and learn English out on their own or learn math out on their own? So I'm not saying that digital citizenship is any more important than those other aspects. I'm just saying that if we're going to say that we want them to be productive digital citizens, we've got to give them the skills and the concepts and the ideas to really live in that world. So it just really depends on how we want it to see where our children are going to be in the future.
So in an ideal situation, how would this be implemented, let's say at a K-12 level? Is this something that you see more at a high school level, or how would you say that?
Right now, the handbook is probably more 6-12 level as far as the activities. I would like to see it in a full K-12. The whole goal when I looked at it from the very beginning is looking at it from the traditional citizenship model when we would teach elementary kids about being citizens. And you would start with, how am I a citizen of the school? And then how am I a citizen of my home? And how am I a citizen of a city? And then of a state? And then the national? I think the digital citizenship can be taught in very much the same way. How do I use digital citizenship in the school around me or in my home? And then how would I use it in the bigger community and with my friends? And then how would I use it in business and industry and outside as I grow and as I move out? So my concept would be to use that sort of circular pattern of starting small and having it around me, how do I use it, and build out from that point. And I think that that's the K-12 model we would have to follow, is that kind of that growing circle of how it's seen, because that's how we live. We stay sort of insulated with our families, and then we move out into schools and out into the world, and that's the same thing with digital citizenship.
Will the website have any kind of case studies or links to schools that are implementing this, or how is the website going to be?
I'm hoping that we'll continue to grow as we grow. You know, the last year I've been focusing more on the dissertation and getting that piece done, but now as we've kind of moved past that, I do have one school district, Junction City, is interested in implementing this in their Information Technology Institute. They want to put this in their level 2 of their institute, and they see it as a priority for their school district. So hopefully as they come along, that we will put some information up about how they're implementing it, and hopefully have some other schools that can also see how they're doing it, and then possibly how they could be using it as well.
Are you interested or available as far as a consulting basis, if school districts are out there?
I would like to definitely discuss it with some school districts if they're interested in utilizing this and seeing how we could work something out. Because, like I said, I'm starting to work with Junction City and seeing how they want to use it. So.
Right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to visit. And
sure, thank you.
Hopefully we'll have folks visit the site and also look for the ISTE publication. Congratulations.
Great.
On that.
Thank you.
Excited that these ideas are going to be shared with a broader audience and hopefully, become part of the dialogue, because it's those are vocabulary words that people haven't had in their traditional curriculum.
Yes, it's but kind of out there a little bit.
It needs to be in there. So.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank Mike again for taking the time to do the interview and share that information and his perspectives and work on digital citizenship. I really think this is one of those topics that we in schools need to be talking about. It's one of those vocabulary terms that needs to become part of the curriculum. And I think as we see technology become a more and more important part of the lives of not only students but also adults, we are going to see a stronger need to talk about the issues of digital citizenship, because this is a moving target. It's not something that any of us are going to be able to master at a particular moment in time and know everything about and have all of the answers about, but it's definitely a set of topics and a set of issues that is very important and that we need to be focused on. I'd like to finally give thanks to my son, Alexander, for giving me permission in this podcast and all my podcasts to utilize two of his GarageBand musical creations for the background music. And I'd also like to remind you that this podcast is shared with a Creative Commons attribution-only license, so you're encouraged to share this with as many other folks as you can, and hope that you found this of use. Again, you can find my blog and podcast, Moving at the Speed of Creativity, at www.speedofcreativity.org. I'll include a link to Mike's contact information, and if you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for future podcasts, I would certainly welcome any feedback that you have on this podcast blog post, or you can directly reach me by visiting my website at www.wesfryer.com.